Hello everyone, welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a podcast show hosted by me, Grace.
And me, Abby.
And this show is dedicated to helping you live your best life. And today we're talking all about breakups, a guide to surviving a breakup. We're going to dive into the general information about like what is actually going on in your brain when you're having a breakup, so you can understand like why you might be feeling the way you're feeling, and then some tips and like of how to get through all the different stages of breakups, lift you up, keep you going. But I actually think even if you're not going through a breakup, this is probably a nice episode to listen to.
Yeah.
Arm yourself for when that day comes, or maybe you need to help a friend and this is going to give you the knowledge you need to help your friend.
That's so true. Yeah, tell a friend, or like general grieving as well. Like we're going to discuss that. And yeah, just to prep you for if that day ever comes. And if you are as well in the midst of a breakup, just to like give you some facts that really help you figure out what the hell is going on in your brain. And just to give you like a big warm hug. Because obviously it's just because obviously it can be such a painful time. Where like you're really just seeking people to like talk to you and give you advice and stuff. So it's an episode we've been wanting to do for absolutely ages, isn't it? But now I feel like it's the perfect time.
Yeah, you got to do it at the right time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, excited to get into it.
But before we get into it, you've just come back from India. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the podcast. We didn't have you last week.
I know.
I was all on my own.
I know. Had the best time ever over in India. Just loving the energy, the people. It was like everything that I imagined, but more. Which is great, because you know, sometimes you can like build up an idea of something. But no, it was so magical. And I think I'm actually still processing like the holiday and like the lessons and just like the little moments that I thought were really special. And I keep thinking in my head, I'm like, I keep saying, oh, I'm carrying India in my heart.
Aww.
So I just want to, yeah, it's like just little parts of it. I'm just carrying in my heart, and then I'm like journaling about them, and just like bringing them back into my reality here.
Like what? Share one little thing?
Well, I think just like mainly how like grounded and, you know, I kept saying to you about the thing about tarmac.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I said it to my friend, Izzy, and she was like, that was the first thing she said. She was just like, we got too much tarmac here. And I was like, that is literally what I can't stop thinking about, is how much tarmac we
got. Got tarmac problem.
So we got a tarmac problem. Yeah, just like in India, obviously, there's not much tarmac at all. Even in like Mumbai, like most of the roads are like kind of like dirt road kind of things. And it's like, they just like, it's like an energy, like you feel the connection that they have to the ground and just to like each other. So they wake up every day, they're walking down the road. A lot of the time they don't wear shoes, even, you know, the tuk-tuk things that they drive everywhere. A lot of them don't have shoes on. And you just feel like they're like so close to the ground, like to the root. Like they use obviously a lot of like the plants to heal and stuff like that. And I just really noticed that like when I landed back in Manchester and there's just concrete absolutely everywhere. And I was like, gosh, it just makes you realize like, I can totally see how we could be like energetically cut off more than other countries. But I suppose that's the same for every country that's like developed like ours. Like so many amazing things about it, but it's like those things of reminding yourself to connect to the earth. Like that's probably one of the main things that I've taken, is that I need to remain connected through my feet.
Yes, you walking around barefoot and stuff.
Yeah, but obviously not on the tarmac because it's no point. So.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's more just like, well, summer's around the corner, isn't it? And I can't wait to start going on like walks and stuff in the morning again. And just like, yeah, taking my shoes off.
Go barefoot.
Yeah, probably not the whole thing. Even though people say that's really good for you, don't they?
Yeah, do you know what? Just remind me, it's a really random tangent, but my cousin went on a Hinge date with a guy who doesn't wear shoes ever. And yeah, I don't think she realised that until she was on the date. Rocked up in the middle of Glasgow, met this guy outside a bar or wherever they were going, I don't know. And he didn't have any shoes on. She was like, are you okay? What's going on down there? And he was like, I don't wear shoes.
No shoes and socks.
I don't wear shoes. And she was like, don't you get fucking tetanus? Like, you're walking around the streets of Glasgow, like, surely you're stepping on some heroin needles or something. Like, what? And he was like, nah. But all the bottom of his feet was all orange.
They do that, yeah.
They go orange when you...
Yeah, they go like this certain kind of colour. And it's not like it's necessarily dirt. It's like your foot almost creates a shoe. You know, like, it's like what they would have done, like, caveman days.
Yeah.
It's really good for you, but yeah, maybe not, like, walking around Glasgow.
Yeah, well, he doesn't wear shoes, and he would, like...
But no, one of my friends was like that from college. She doesn't wear shoes at all, but I love it. She just owns it. She just doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah, he's showing her pictures of him, like, walking up a snowy mountain with
shoes off. I feel like that's maybe something you should have spoken about before a date. Like, I feel like you would know.
I don't know. Yeah, I would. I feel like I would know before I went on a date if someone wore shoes or not. I would have.
It's like you just assume that everyone wears shoes, don't you? Yeah, so not at that point yet.
Maybe he wasn't forthcoming online about it though, because he maybe knew he wasn't being his authentic self on his Hinge profile, because he knew that a lot of girls probably be like, okay.
Yeah, they'll probably be the perfect woman out there for him.
Yeah, shoeless
with
woman.
No shoes on. Yeah,
she's not my cousin.
Yeah,
not her. Anyway, yeah, shoes. Should we wear them? Should we not? It's a mystery. No, there's something else random about tarmac. Well, not tarmac, but like when I haven't been to America in so long, but obviously I used to go a lot when I was younger because my mum's from there. And I remember when I'd go, I'd feel happier because not like happier, but like my eyes were happier, like my brain was happier because the pavement was really light coloured. You know, here the tarmac's all dark, so you're walking down the street and it's like light grey because that's the colour they use, and it's like really light. So it like maybe it reflects more of the sun. Andrew Hooven would know; he'd tell me. Yeah. He's telling me something going on with your eyes, I reckon.
Oh, interesting.
But I would feel happier because the ground was lighter. But it wasn't because it wasn't like natural; it was because it was a different colour. Because the ground here in the UK is really dark.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Well, if you're here to learn about how to get over a breakup, I'm really sorry. I promise we'll get into it in a minute. Right, so should we dive straight in?
Yeah, let's go for it. So obviously, as we said, this episode is dedicated towards anyone really going through a breakup. So obviously, just want to start by saying that if you are in the midst of it, like, we genuinely are sending you so much love, because breakups are one of those things, aren't they, in life that will like tear you to the ground. Like, no matter if you think you're strong or not, no matter how you are in business, friendships, family, anything, like, heartbreak will tear you to the ground, and it'll make you question everything, and it'll literally turn your world upside down. And I don't feel like there is like that much stuff out there to support that. Maybe there is, but like, I went through a breakup last year and I just like, I was like looking, is the books, I can't really find any books. I found a few good podcasts, but not that many. Like, I just feel like, considering it's such a huge, huge thing that can happen to different people on different degrees, there wasn't that much support, because it is such like a vulnerable thing to go through.
Yeah.
And such a time where like your brain can completely go against you. So like, you're trying to show up for your everyday life, but you can't even like feel physically normal. Like, you can't even show up for yourself because your brain is literally going off doing one thing. Your heart's trying to do something else. It's just very confusing, very vulnerable time. So that's why I'm happy that we are doing this episode and we can like bring some light to this, give our own advice. Because as I said, I feel like breakups are the one time in life. Well, not the one time, but a serious time in life where you really, really have to show up for yourself. And be like so rooted in your self-love and your truth and like what is right for your heart. Because you can so easily just like self-abandoned.
Your self-worth.
Yeah.
Self-respect.
Yeah.
And like kind of like mothering yourself in a way as well.
Yeah, like so many aspects. Like, you really have to be super, super strong in that moment, because it comes with all those little decisions. Like, obviously it's hard to speak about it vaguely because every breakup is so different. But I think even if you're the person that's left someone, or if someone suddenly left you and you're heartbroken, or if it's been like a really civil breakup where you love each other, but you actually can't make it work, or maybe you move in country or something like that. Like, each type of breakup, no matter what, is painful in its own way. Even when it's like a good pain or like a good breakup and it's meant to happen, it's still so painful because you're still going to grieve that person. So this time really just comes with like extra care for yourself, filling yourself with knowledge that's going to help you understand your brain, which you're going to go into, and just being really gentle with yourself and understanding that like breakups could be like one of the biggest things you ever go through in your life. Like, literally.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. I have nothing more to say. Killed it.
If you are currently going through a breakup or just in general really feel like you need support for your mental health, I could not recommend BetterHelp enough. When I was going through my breakup, which we mentioned a lot in this episode last year, I had help, had therapy with BetterHelp, and it helped me so much. It was absolutely perfect at the time. I was really busy. We were working, trying to get everything off the ground, obviously going through this huge life change. And when you're going through a life change like that, you might not have the time and energy to source a therapist that is like in your area and just all these things. So BetterHelp was absolutely perfect. BetterHelp is all done online. It's done from the comfort of your own home. So all you do is you fill in a questionnaire and you let them know what you are struggling with. And then they will work hard to match you with the perfect therapist for that for you. There are thousands of therapists online with BetterHelp. So no matter what you are struggling with, they will find the perfect person. As we said, BetterHelp is all done online. So what you do is you can set up weekly voice calls or video calls, and you can also send messages to your therapist and get the support that you need. BetterHelp is also much more affordable than traditional offline therapy because their aim is to really make therapy accessible for people all around the world. Not only that, BetterHelp are giving our listeners 10% off your first month of therapy. So if you are struggling right now and you feel like you need support and you want to try BetterHelp, you can head to betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That is betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet and access your discount today. So we thought it was really important to bring you some brave signs on breakups because I especially last year felt like I was going fucking nuts. I'm not even joking. I thought I was going insane. And I think that is what heartbreak can do to you, whether it's your decision or not. You literally feel like you've lost your marbles. So Grace is here with the brain facts.
I am. Are you all ready?
We're ready. We're going to help you understand why you feel like you're going crazy.
Should get up my research. Right, so there's loads of research out there showing all about what's going on in the brain neurologically when we're going through a breakup. But we've got here some straight up facts from Dr. Amen, who you've definitely all seen on TikTok, that little bold guy who like just sits there with his legs crossed and spits bars and like scans the Kardashians' brains and stuff and other people's brains. But he's big into brain health. So he's the man to know about this.
Yeah.
Because he scans brains for a living.
I would love
him to do ours. He can see anxiety in people's brains. Yeah, I know.
How good would that be? I need to go to America.
Yeah, more reasons to go see him, get the brain scan, look at the pavements, feel happy.
We're off.
All right, so he says that we normally, when we're talking about breakups and stuff, we say it breaks our heart, but from a biological and physiological standpoint, it what we really should be saying is that it breaks our brain.
Oh, that's dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm brain broken. I'm
so brain broken over this guy. I can't even.
That's why you feel like you need time off work. You're like, I'm brain broken.
Yeah. No, but like, it's some real shit. I don't know how people do work when they're
when people go through like a divorce, or you know, like when you hear a story, like husband, dad of two, like turns out he was cheating or something, and then the poor woman probably has to go to work the next day. I'm like, how on earth? Probably in a state of shock, to be honest.
Oh, 100%. So when you have a breakup with someone, you usually feel sad, obsessed, longing for them. How did you feel? What's name some of the emotions? Put into context for everyone.
Yeah, well, I feel like you feel like a bit depressed.
Yeah.
Sad, yeah, lonely.
Quite unstable, unbalanced.
Yeah, like very up and down.
Mm.
And then also like changing your mind all the time.
Bit unhinged.
Yeah. Very confusing time.
Very confusing. Okay, so this is why he's so confused. So when we love someone, they come to live, okay? They live in the emotional or limbic centers of our brains. And like that's a massive part of your brain. It drives so much of your behavior, the limbic center. But the reason why when you're in love with someone, they live in your brain is because they actually occupy nerve cell pathways and they physically live in the neurons and synapses of their brains. So they've got their own neural pathways going on there. Like they're riding down them on their sledge on a daily basis. And then all of a sudden you're not with them anymore. But the brain doesn't understand that because they're still living rent-free in your neural pathways.
Yeah.
So when we lose a lover through a breakup or a divorce, our brain gets confused and disorientated. So that, you know, you were saying changing your mind, all that kind of stuff, and it just makes complete sense. Since the person lives in the neural connections, we expect to see them, hear them, feel them, and touch them. When we can't actually hold them or talk to them as we usually do, the brain centers where they live become inflamed, searching for them. So your brain actually like inflames. That's when like things go wrong in your brain, is when you start getting brain inflammation.
Yeah.
So all of this causes overactivity in the limbic system, which is the brain's emotional centers. And this has been associated with depression and low serotonin levels, which is why we have trouble sleeping, feel obsessed, lose our appetites, want to isolate ourselves, and lose the joy we have for life. A deficit in endorphins, which modulate pain and pleasure pathways in the brain, also occurs, which may be responsible for the physical pain we feel during a breakup. Basically, we are a neurochemical mess.
Well, there you go. That's why it just proves when people are like, well, I don't know who would say this, but like, you know, people are like, oh, you can just get over it, move on from heartbreak.
You can't. Your brain's got through its tits. The neural pathways are going nuts.
Literally, your brain is malfunctioning.
Yeah.
And all you're trying to do is think, oh, I need to move on, but your brain is literally like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I'm in panic station and I don't know what the fuck is going on. And that's why it's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I definitely felt that. And I think as well, like that, even hearing the science of that, I think is so helpful for anyone that's in the midst of it. Because I heard some brain science when I was in the midst of it and I was like, okay, that makes total sense. You know, like when people say, I don't think we've actually got the fact up, but you have such a drop in dopamine, it's like similar to getting off cocaine. They compare it to. It's like your brain is literally, it's like coming off a drug. And you're literally addicted to this person. Like, whether you want to break up with them or not, like, your brain is addicted to them.
Yeah.
So you will have withdrawal symptoms and you will feel like you're going crazy. And that's why you're probably going to ask for them back, even if you don't want them back. And one thing that I really experienced, which I thought was interesting, is that I could see, like, my logical brain that wanted this relationship to end. And then once it ended, it's like my brain and everything just went into complete panic because my survival instinct was like, oh my God, this like person who you form this partnership with has now gone. So now like your safety is on the line. And like, I like my whole body was like petrified. Like I felt so unprotected. But like the reality of it was that obviously I was very safe, probably more safe, like walking away and following my truth. But I just remember thinking, like, what on earth is this? Like, why is my brain, well, like, my logical side of me being like, oh, no, no, this is cool, it's fine. And then on the other side, I'm, like, literally freaking out. And I think one of those other articles before was saying that, like, your body literally goes into fight and flight. I always say fight or flight, but it's fight or flight. Yeah, and I always say fight and flight. Your body goes into fight. Wait, sorry, I forgot it now.
Fight or.
You know, could you say it? That it
fight
goes.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Yeah, this article was saying that your body goes into fight or flight, and that's why you have like all these reactions where you like physically can't think straight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it like makes sense, like on a primal level, like going right back to the caveman days, which is where we all came from, is like if you weren't with your mate as a woman, you're vulnerable, and if you have. Whether you have children or not, actually, I think just the hormonal thing of being a woman, like, I think it would make you panic and go nuts and feel fight or flighty because you probably would have got murdered by a lion or, I don't know, you would have died or something, like, you didn't, do you know what I mean?
Or even, like, obviously when you're with someone, like, primarily you think, like, that's your chance of reproducing, so then once they're gone, I think, like, your brain tries to trick you as in, like, oh my God, but what if you don't find anyone else and then you're not going to reproduce?
Yeah.
I think your survival's like not going to continue.
Continue the line. That's what we're all trying to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just have babies.
Yeah, we're basically like, the way we're wired.
On a basic biological level,
we're just like got layers of complication above.
Yeah.
But yeah, on a basic level, like our unconsciousness of what we're doing is basically that. So I think that's why you can probably
keep the human species going.
Yeah. Like get all confused thinking, oh no, I think I want to be back with this person, but you actually don't. It's like you're fighting a lot of things at once.
Yes, a lot.
So all you've got to do, I think, in that moment is like anyone that's listening now as well, maybe you're like you're on that point where you're like you don't actually know what you're doing, maybe you're taking a break from a relationship. I think all of it can be so overwhelming, but the only place you will honestly know the truth is like deep, deep in your heart, like the whisper of your heart, like what it's saying. Like that's the only truth that matters, and that's the only truth that you know. Mm. No one can tell you that. Like, remember when, obviously I'm going to probably speak a fair bit, like not to bore you guys, about my breakup just because it was last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, like say people were trying to give me advice and I was so grateful for it. People were trying to give me advice and I was obviously like really grateful and I could see how much people were trying to help. But like, it almost like didn't make any difference because
no
one can give you advice when like there's a whisper inside of you that's saying,
yeah, it was
oh,
really hard
right.
to give you advice because you would like can't. Tell me what was going on or like, oh, I've just broken up with him. I was like, what?
Yeah,
really? I thought it was all good, man.
Yeah,
or whatever. And then like, because I wasn't in your head, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so hard. But that's what I mean, like all you can do is listen to the whispering heart and you might like fall off track and maybe listen to your partner that says, oh no, it's gonna work out.
Yeah, or, yeah, it's where you gotta be so headstrong, like,
yeah. Or maybe it's like a messy breakup and they say, oh, I'm gonna change you or something like that. But like the only way you'll know the truth is if you actually just like take it slow and listen to yourself and your inner knowing, because that's always the truth.
Yeah.
So I feel like one of the first stages that come right after a breakup is regretting the breakup and thinking, oh my God, have I made the right decision? And I think the stress of that is more stressful than the breakup.
Mm.
Honestly, that is what I really struggled with last year, was this huge ball of anxiety of genuinely not having a clue what to do or like whether I made the right decision. And as I said before, the whisper in my heart, obviously what I followed, was right. But obviously because your brain is completely on one, it's tricking you out of all sorts of games and you can totally fall into this trap of like looking at someone and just looking at their potential and looking at all the amazing things about them. Do you know what I mean? Like suddenly when you're so upset and your like chance of survival is almost ripped away, all you're going to do is look at this person and think, oh, but they really did this, and like
they did this,
and oh my God, they did all these things. And I know I'm talking about it in terms of like maybe splitting up with someone, but it can happen as well. Even if someone treats you really badly and leaves, and you could be like, oh my God, but they were this.
I'll never
this.
Find someone better. Like all that kind of shit.
Yeah, and it's like it's actually bullshit because you wouldn't have split up anyway if it was right. Like you literally would have. You wouldn't be in this situation right now if it was right. So yeah, those rose-tinted glasses can definitely come out, aren't they?
They're dangerous.
They're very dangerous.
They're so dangerous. That's why I think that's why you need friends as well in that time.
Yeah.
Because they can literally, like, you are looking through rose-tinted glasses right now because they're not wearing them. They're not having all the brain chemical stuff.
Yeah.
So I know you were saying about whispers of your heart, listen to you. Mm. But also, like, I think when it comes to that, like, having people around you to just kind of level you out a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really important. Because I don't know, like, what the kind of, like, I'm sure it's definitely, like, brain science of rose-tinted glasses because you don't just get it from, like, breakups with a person. You get it from, like, oh, moving to a new job, leaving the other one, sort of romanticising it, or like moving to a different location, you start fucking romanticising where you were before, even though you wanted to move. Yeah. And do you know what I mean? And it's weird until you get over it and you stop doing it. But
yeah,
it's a dangerous like pair of glasses to wear.
It is. It's like the fear, you're like, oh gosh, but I've lost this thing. So then you start to like really, like romanticise it. But I think as well on like the flip side of that, say you have been through a breakup and you, and obviously we're going to give you tips on how to stop romanticizing so you don't like go back there when you don't want to. But as well, it doesn't mean that like just because you've broken up with someone, it doesn't mean that all the amazing things about them aren't true as well.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Like each of my breakups, there's been so many amazing things about the partner, like so many. Like my last breakup, it was like 95% of the things were amazing. Do you know what I mean? But that's why I think why I found it so painful because I remember saying to you about, I was like, but like, yeah, I really love this and I really love this and I really love this. But there was still like that 5% that I was like, no, like this just in me just doesn't work, can't be fixed, whatever. But it doesn't mean that, yeah, you can just, that you have to disregard all the amazing things. But maybe that comes a little bit further down the line.
Yeah.
But you can still like honour the amazing parts of someone and carry that in your heart that maybe you want to attract another person. But obviously not to get, like when you're in the midst of like deciding and trying to walk away, definitely don't sit there and think about that.
No, yeah, I think
but not to dismiss those parts.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a later down the line thing.
Yeah.
Because that's like a healing thing to do as well, later down the line.
Yeah.
To like send love in that way, but release at the same time. Mm.
But even in that moment, it is helpful as well, because I felt like I was going nuts.
Mm.
And I was like, well, why are there all these good things? And I was like, because there are good things, Abby. Yeah, like, stop trying to make them a demon.
Mm.
They're not a demon, but they're not right for you. So, like, is it I have to be so, like, strict with myself? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not right for you, so move on.
Yeah.
But, yes, that is the reality. There are so many amazing things. Because that's where it can get so confusing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, why would I break up with someone if they have nice things about them? It's like, well, you obviously weren't dating a crazy person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Hopefully no one is, but they might be.
Oh, yeah, they might be.
Some people might be. So you recommend keeping a list?
Yeah. I think keeping a list of the reasons that you've split up with someone is really helpful. And if maybe they split with you or anything like that, then you can write the list on, or even like, I mean, if you want to get deep on it, you can just write the times where like in the relationship where you felt so like undervalued or like underappreciated, or you were really upset, or where you tried to have healthy communication and it wasn't like brought back, and, or like times where you just thought, this really doesn't sit right with me. You know, you could like journal about those times and keep it all together. And then, or you could just bullet point and be really straightforward and just write the reasons why you've split up. So then when your brain is literally going off on one, and it's like, it's those things of like, in the day, you feel fine. You're around your friends, you're at work, I don't know, you're getting a coffee, you're like, life is good, like I'm on this breakup. And then it might just be in the evening, or it might be the like, the amount of times I just like, maybe flicking through TikTok and a really emotional video come up, and it just triggered the hell out of me. I can't even tell you how many times. And, like, that's the moment when you need to pull out that list.
Yeah.
Literally, like, you need to have that list at the ready. Or, like, say maybe you're, like, feeling good in yourself, and then maybe you go somewhere and you're surrounded by really sweet couples and it's really nice, but actually you're in a really, really vulnerable place and you don't want to see that. And then all of a sudden you're, like, so upset and really miss the person. That's when you need the list, because you're going to want to run back to the person, like we said before. Your brain is literally, like, craving this person so bad. You're really going to want to pick up your phone and text them. I'll just see if they're okay. And that's always the thing. I just want to see if they're okay. It's like, no, like, just don't.
Yeah.
Cut communication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when you need to get the list out.
Mm-hmm. Just keep that list on your phone, I think. Right? Yeah. In your notes on your phone, so you just pull it up whenever.
Yeah.
Because you have bad days and you have good days.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't always rely on your friends to tell you, actually, do you not remember this? And do you not remember this? And do you not remember this?
Because
they might be aware of a lot of the bad times or something and be able to do that. But you can't ring them up every day. They might be busy working. You know? If you're about to have a relapse, you need to look at your notes. But I think the other thing as well with like getting over somebody, and obviously, no, actually, I think that you should probably do this like right after you decide to break up, to be honest, not leave it. You should get them off social media because out of sight, out of mind, and like you're never gonna not be triggered looking at their page.
No,
do you know what's so fucking weird, right? On TikTok, there's this like trend of people saying like, oh, on my wedding day, but still checking to see if that one situationship or that one person I dated back in the day has seen my story, and then like,
that's beyond,
like, just checking that they've seen it, and then they've seen it, and then like, yeah, like celebrating. I'm literally like,
that makes me uncomfortable. Send
Jesus to you, please. What are you doing? What are you fucking doing?
It's just awful.
I would hate that. Imagine being on your wedding day and that's what your partner's doing, like.
Yeah, it's just like every level of petty. It's
so pathetic.
Literally. Imagine like your partner making a TikTok like that.
Oh my God. But like, you know, where's... I just think it's weird. But anyway.
That's beyond weird.
Beyond weird. But... So don't be those people. That's very extreme. Don't get to your wedding day and still be checking to see if your ex has seen your story. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can avoid that by doing what you're going to say.
Yeah, so basically what I really think that you should do is get them off your social media, so block them. Maybe just, like, if you don't want to seem harsh and or whatever, just say, I'm going to block you because I think we need to not have each other on here. Because even if you unfollow them, you're still going to be able to see their page, unless they're private.
Yeah.
But still,
and then
you're
probably still going to be tempted.
Yeah, and who knows, you might end up making some weird, in a moment of weakness, make a weird fake account pretending to be like an eyelash lady and follow them or something like that. Oh my God, I don't know.
Oh, my crazy ex-wants.
Oh, what?
Once made a pug page.
Oh, pugs. My God.
Yeah, and he was like, pugs and kisses or something. I was like, oh, cute. And then I realized it was him. I was like, oh,
oh no, you're ruining pugs for me now. Nothing safe. Oh,
yeah, nothing safe. I was like, what if it was pugs?
Oh, God. Well, yeah, this is the thing. These are the levels that people can go to in those moments of madness. So, like, I think you need to just block, bless and block, you know?
Yeah.
For both of your own well-being, because you just really, really prolong, it's self-sabotage. You just prolong your healing when by keeping them on your social media or, like, even unfollowing them but still stalking them. And, like, you're never not going to be triggered by what they're posting, even if they're, like, on holiday or, I don't even know, you're not. Like, you're always going to be like, oh, what's that? Or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even after, if you move on and you're in a new relationship, like, why do you want to know? Why do you stop inviting that energy into your life? Get rid of it. Like, be present with the person that you are now with. Or, obviously, if you're not at that stage, you know, breakups are here. We're in the middle of it, so we're all sad. We're not ready for that yet. But, like, just put that energy back onto you. Stop. It's really, really, really just a lot of self-sabotage. Like, it's just like, it's just, you know. It's hard, I get it. It's really hard to block because you like, you get dopamine as well from stalking them and seeing what they're doing and stuff in a weird way.
Yeah, apparently people get addicted to it as well.
Yeah, they do.
Stalking their exes.
Yeah, they do. So it's like, just get it off, rip a plaster off, get it done early doors. It'll be better off long term.
Yeah, it's like for your own sanity, just get
literally.
It done.
Literally.
I have absolutely no idea how people go through breakups and still have them on social media. I think that's a whole mind game in itself, to be honest.
And you're reading into the quotes they're sharing on their Instagram story and they're reading into the quotes you're sharing on your Instagram story to reflect the pain.
Oh, like looking at the
right
following.
Oh.
I hope I'm never, ever in something, right? Because I've never been in this. And I don't know if it's because whoever I've been with hasn't been into Instagram stuff. But you know when, like, girls, like, look at people they're following and, like, oh, he's gone up a follower. Or,
oh, yeah, after a night out.
I hope I'm never, ever that person. Like, isn't it just looks like a really horrible place to be?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
sorry, I think,
if anyone feels
seen
by that.
It's probably a lot of people listening that feel like this. It's hard because
we
live in this.
Maybe I don't know.
No, like, I think you've dated people that aren't, like, big on the gram users. I don't mean, like, influencers. I mean, they don't use Instagram very much. But I think that also, you might engage in that kind of behavior if that person makes you feel unsafe.
Yeah,
you know, so it's about who the partner is as well. And at the end of the day, it's your responsibility because you are choosing that person. So, you know,
yeah,
not look at the part you're playing in that as well. Like, but you will maybe start engaging in that, looking at who they're following because they make you feel unsafe. And maybe they follow those of like Instos, you know, that weird porno pages and stuff. And like, that's a bit alarming, but a lot of men do it. But yeah, so you think it's a bit like, I don't know.
Anyway, bless and block for sure.
Yeah, don't start looking at the following. Yeah, because especially after a breakup.
Oh my god,
Christ.
yeah, that's what I mean. Could you imagine?
It could just be a colleague that they've had to follow back, and
yeah,
you could
be in turmoil.
You could literally be convincing yourself, oh my god, it's been a week and they've moved on, this is a dating this person. You know, like, it's just, you know, you got, it's like mothering yourself, like, come on now, let's not do that.
Yeah. And I think what's really important as well, obviously, like, social media stuff is quite a practical tip, but this as well is really important after a breakup, because I feel like there probably are a lot of people out there that wouldn't let themselves grieve or be sad or, like, really cry, because they might be like, oh, like, I hear some people say, oh, ladies, I've cried for a day. And then move on. I'm like, whoa, bloody hell. I feel like you really have to just let yourself feel the pain and, like, just cry and just, like, grieve it for what it is. Like, if you've lost someone that's so close to you, like, you've almost just got to honor that relationship by letting yourself feel the pain and not, like, bypassing it, because the reality is that you probably did have a really beautiful relationship with so many beautiful things, but it had to end for whatever reason it is, and it has ended. But that comes with so much pain, and you can't ignore that. Because if not, it's just going to bubble inside of you, and all you're going to do is probably bring that within your body and probably take it into new relationships, and it's going to cause some kind of issue. It's going to cause resentment and stuff. It's like, you've got to let yourself feel it, and you've got to just got to let it go, and you just got to let yourself, Like, let it flow through you. And what I think really helps is definitely journaling, 100% for a breakup. I think it's like the main thing is journaling. When you're confused, when you're upset, journal it out. And I also think speaking it out is really helpful, because it can get really, I know I keep saying confusing, but I've been through a very confusing breakup. But I like kept doing videos. Well, not kept doing, actually. There was just an odd few where I don't actually know why I recorded. I think I recorded it because I wanted to look back.
It's like video journaling.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to look back on it because I definitely wasn't going to share it, because I literally, yeah.
Red raw, mate. Red raw.
Yeah. But I think there's always, and I think it was actually Jay Shetty that first said this ages ago, like, there is something really, like, helpful and therapeutic about actually speaking like that.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this situation, like something really just like, I don't have to go out for this meal, da, 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 and you're getting so annoyed in your head. If you even just voice note it to yourself, mm-hmm. it helps you make sense of it.
Yeah.
So when you're really upset in that moment and like maybe you don't want to talk to a friend and you don't want to reach out to anyone, but you're still really confused. And as well, what I think is so painful about a breakup, like literally the most painful part, is the fact that when you're so upset, all you want to do is fall into the arms of the person that you're closest to, but they're gone. So like the person that would once like hold you tight and like tell you it's okay and make you feel better is the one person that's gone. So it's like that's why it's so painful, because you're like, well, now who do I lean on? Like, it just makes you feel so, so lonely. I don't know how that actually relates to that, but I just really wanted to mention that.
Yeah, mate, you're making everyone cry. For sure. But tears are welling, I know it right now.
I think if I had listened to someone like this, I would have been like,
and if you are crying right now, good on you.
Yeah,
let it out.
But yeah, that's why you have to learn to really, really self-soothe, like completely, because as I said right at the start, like if you're not gonna show up for yourself, then like how are you gonna get through it, because you're in so much pain and the person that you want to lean on is not there. Yeah, speaking out like that. When I did that video, I think I showed it you, didn't I? When I was like, oh my God, this is video. And I was like, it's hench. It was like 6 minutes or something.
I don't think you ever showed me the video, no. But I think maybe you showed me a screenshot of it, or you told me about it.
Yeah, and it was intense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like I couldn't share it with anyone. But it was like, it was the raw reality of what it was. And it was like me not being, like, nothing could have made me feel better in that moment. Not even that person, actually, at all, could have made me feel better, because obviously that wasn't the right thing. Like, nothing would have made me feel better. It was like the pain was just so there, and just, it just had to come out of me. I just had to speak, I had to cry. Like, it just had to unfold, because that was the reality. Like, it was just a big ball of pain and grief for, like, something that once was and now is no longer there. So, yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. So what are like other ways that people can self-soothe then? Like, what else did you do than journal on?
Well, I think like, I mean, in general, like for self-soothing, I mean, in general, like physically speaking, in your body, you can calm yourself down by like, even like I saw a thing, it was actually on this morning. They were saying that like, that this does something to your nervous system.
Little arm huggles. Yeah, on yourself.
Like hugging yourself and like literally calm yourself down, like literally self-soothing. Because as well, if you think about it, when you've just been through a breakup, obviously your oxytocin drops.
Oh yeah, because you're not getting
you're not getting stroked. Like you could all of that so much in a relationship, and then all of a sudden you're like just like a normal person again. Like, oh
yeah, stroke myself.
Yeah, so you're just like, okay. Yeah, you should definitely have a cat or something to cuddle. But I think I just did things that I enjoyed and that almost did, maybe let yourself feel the pain, let yourself journal, let yourself cry, but then not to stay in it too long, because then kind of like move on to something that lifts you up and lifts your vibe up. Because I know you can like sometimes like upset yourself more. Do you know if I was to sit there and like go over this day a million times, I would upset myself more. But that's something else I was going to say, that like, you know, we mentioned before about the dopamine.
Yeah.
And how you have such a drop in dopamine when you go through a breakup. So like, obviously the things that like maybe used to make you giggle and laugh and like happy are just like, because you're so upset. You're like, you're so sad. Like you're just trying to get through the day and your brain just keeps thinking of them. And yeah, as I said, like, your dopamine has totally gone down. So I think it was a podcast where the person was recommending this. They were like, because your dopamine goes down so much, like, you're really deprived of it. So you need to do things that obviously bring you dopamine, but like, obviously healthy ways. So they were like, a really good thing to do is just to make sure you've got something to look forward to, which I think in general, like, if you're not having the best time, I think generally having something to look forward to is so nice. So yeah, I think like, if it's maybe like a night with your friends or like just something you generally really enjoy, or if it's like a holiday or something.
Yeah.
Just leave the country. Just something where you can look forward to it and like get that little dopamine hit and just know that like, oh, it is going to get better and I am going to feel more joy and I am going to feel better. I think that's really important.
Yeah, 100%. I think another powerful thing to do post breakup, and I think you can't do this in the initial stages because it's too much, but once your brain chemicals have gone back to normal, you know, you're not neurologically broken anymore, like that guy was saying, and your neural pathways have rewired a bit, that person that you loved is no longer living rent free in your limbic brain anymore. I think that you should 1,000,000,000% be doing cord cutting activities. Absolutely key. I think even letting go of old friends and stuff, or an old life that you once had, like that maybe isn't tied to a relationship. I just think there's huge power in energetically releasing the old and letting it go.
Yeah.
That really changes your life and changes your emotional state and your reality and what you draw into you. And but you can't rush it, like, you can only do it when you're ready. But I think like ways, I just like to keep things like that simple, but I know there is actually rituals you can do. Like, I saw one on Instagram the other day of like someone had two candles, like two long skinny candles with a string tied around the two of them, like hanging together. And then you light the candles and the candles obviously melt away.
It was very satisfying to watch. Yeah, it was.
I was feeling released just watching it.
Yeah.
And and then like as the candles melt down and burn, obviously the string catches fire and burns as well. So it's like literally representing like you and the other person, that cord between you going.
Yeah, it's like the physical.
So obviously you could do things like that. I've never done that before, but like I would just do either like cord cutting meditations, because there's so many of them out there. And you can like, as well, depending on like how spiritual you want to be, there's obviously like, it's Archangel Michael who, I'm going to go there, who is the like protector and can help in...
He's at the sword of truth.
Oh.
So good for a breakup, seeing the truth.
Yeah. So like, you know, maybe if you're into that, if that's what you resonate doing that, there's a lot of Archangel Michael meditations on YouTube. But I remember I did a nice one with Gabby Bernstein, I think.
Oh yeah, I always remember you talking about that one.
Yeah, she's got nice ones. It's not like her Instagram or something. I found it so many years ago. But I mean, there's so many out there. Like, but cord cutting meditation's really powerful. And also another really powerful activity to do is to write a letter that you never send. I mean, I think you could send it depending on the person, the breakup, the circumstances. Please don't send it if like it's gonna rehash it up or make them contact you again or whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's why I think most of the time you just don't send it.
Yeah.
And it's because it's for you anyway. Yeah. You're releasing for you, not for them. Well, obviously it will set them free as well in a way. But like, you are doing it for you. So like, writing a letter and just spilling it all out there. And I think knowing you're not sending it anyway makes you be more honest.
Yeah, definitely.
And just letting it all out, no matter how crazy you might think it sounds or how anything you might be judging yourself for about the emotions you're feeling or anything like that, you can release so much of maybe any of the shame or any of the guilt that you might still hold from the remnants of the relationship or anything, you know, because I don't know, like, depending on how you handle your emotional well-being, you very much could be, I don't know, even like subconsciously upset with yourself for getting so upset or getting involved. I don't know. Like, obviously, everyone's different and everyone's situation is different, but yeah, I think you release things for yourself as well as the person, but just spilling it all out on a paper and just writing, like, you know what, just whatever comes out, spilling it out and just release you. And then I think it's really nice to burn it. I don't think you should keep it.
No,
you should get rid of it.
Yeah,
I think like burning it is like quite symbolic anyway, but even if you don't burn it, chuck it in the bin somewhere in a park, fucking get rid of it. Go get rid of it.
Yeah. No, it is so true. I think It's like writing that letter allows you to maybe say the things you never got a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
And that can give you so much closure, I think.
Closure. That's something people always want after a breakup.
Yeah.
And they wait for the other person to give it to them.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, never.
That person might never give it to you.
No.
Depending on who they are and how they operate and how toxic or not toxic the situation was, you absolutely cannot. When I hear people say that, I think, fucking shut up.
Yeah, it's like a myth, I reckon.
It's bollocks. Give yourself closure. You choose your own healing. You joking. You put it in the hands of someone else.
Mm.
No way.
Yeah.
No fucking way. Take back your power.
Mm. I think sometimes maybe some people like want like an answer to something.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's like cheating or something.
Yeah,
and they think it'll give them closure, but like
it's just not. It's
I think it is just kind of like a thing in your head. I remember. Like,
I think sometimes. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say on one breakup, like the boy was like, "I really want to see you for closure," and I was like, "Mate, this is the opposite of closure for me. I don't want to see you. I'm running for the hills."
Yeah.
Like as in I like it's
close
totally
yourself,
subjective
honey.
To yourself. You're like. That is not closure to me, but I know a lot of people do that. They're like, "Oh well, I met them one more time for closure."
Yeah, or like
that is how you get
break
really
up shags.
Situation.
I'm like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh god,
not a good idea.
That's the confusion.
Literally,
yeah. I think sometimes when you're seeking that closure, as in maybe you want an answer, or you maybe want to know why they did what they did, or something.
Mm.
It also can just be deep down subconsciously, you just digging at your own wounds. You're like, because you know it's going to reconfirm like. Maybe a limiting belief you have about yourself.
Yeah.
Like a wound you've got that, I don't know, men are trash or women are trash. Mm. Or you always get abandoned or you always get let down or you're not good enough to be fully loved and might not be cheated on or not be left or something like that. And you can basically be digging for closure. But actually what you're doing is just digging for self-sabotaging pain to reconfirm the things you believe about yourself.
Well, isn't that the tea?
That's the fucking tea.
That really is.
That is some real... That requires some real honest self-awareness, self-reflection to get to that. But you, see, I see people doing it all the time.
Yeah. I reckon some people listening now are like, shit.
I need to call my therapist. If I don't have one, I need to fucking get one. So that's the kind of thing that you can really unpack in therapy, which is really good.
Yeah. For sure.
Because, like, just who you date, I get you can get tied up with the wrong people sometimes. Mm. But at the same time, you're entertaining them.
Yeah.
And even when you're a victim to their awful behaviour, you have chosen it in a way. Not to, like, I don't want to talk about really extreme things here, like, domestic violence stuff. Like, you know, I'm not talking about that. I don't want to. I'm just talking about bad, just shit relationships, you know, like just whatever. And it's like you need to really be honest with yourself, because why are you a vibrational match for that?
Yeah.
And no judgment, no fucking judgment, no, none at all. I say this with no judgment because I'm not saying that I have never done any of this, because I absolutely have. But I just mean, like, it can be a match for it because you've got your trauma and it's like it's an opportunity to heal. If you look at yourself like that and you take that responsibility approach to your life and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Very powerful.
Mm.
One thing that I think is really helpful as well in the midst of a breakup is reminding yourself to actually not be selfish in a way.
Yeah.
So, like, if for some reason you've broken up with someone and it's quite clear that you're not the right fit or they're not right for you and you're just gonna, like, self-abandon and, like, bypass the pain and be like, oh, I can't be dealing with this. Like, we're going to make it work. Like, even though you know deep down you shouldn't be like, oh, no, we're going to do this. You're the right person. But you know they're not the right person. I always, like, remember this quote. If they're not right for you, then you're not right for them. So, like, by you staying with someone where you know it's not quite right, but you're like, oh, I'll just settle.
Mm.
You're actually completely robbing them of the chance to be with the person that they're meant to be.
Yeah.
Like, whether that's a better person or worse, do you know what I mean? Like, that, like we said before, vibrationally matching, they're meant to be with somebody else.
Mm.
And the more you, like, stick to them and don't allow this like natural breakup to just break down in the same way that nature and things just break away. But the more you don't allow that, the more you are like literally robbing their opportunity to meet the right person. Mm. And it is actually selfish.
It is.
You can, how, if you hold on to a relationship that isn't right, it is selfish. As much as you think, oh, I don't want to hurt them, I don't want to break up with them, actually in the long run, like the like our soul's paths, you were meant to break up anyway. So
yeah.
It's like, even though, say if you are splitting up with someone, even though you may feel super guilty at the time, like you just got to keep reminding yourself that it's definitely for the right reasons. Otherwise you wouldn't have wanted to split up.
Mm.
You wouldn't be in that space at all.
Mm-hmm. For just another little closing thought and truth is that like the state of your current heartbreak right now, or your maybe one you've had in the past and you're really scared to step back into the vulnerability of love again and risk that again, the full depth of pain you felt or are currently feeling from your breakup is a direct reflection of the amount your heart was open to that person and the amount you loved. And that is that's beautiful, because it shows how deeply you can love somebody.
Yeah.
And that there's a quote, like, a heart that's been broken is a heart that's been loved. But actually, that is so beautiful, because it shows like how deeply you loved someone else and opened your heart to them and like was vulnerable in love like that. And that is like one of the biggest things that we all come here to do, which is to meet each other like that and love each other like that. It's one of the most like special magical things, but it requires a lot of bravery to do that, because what you risk is everything we spoke about today: breakups, heartbreak, pain. That's the risk you take when you decide to step into the vulnerability of love. And actually Brené Brown says like so much amazing things about vulnerability and courage and stuff, but one thing that she does say is, because my little brother bought me her book for Christmas, Atlas of the Heart. I've not actually read it yet, but maybe I should. I need two new books. Maybe I'll get that out tonight. But like, I remember when I was flicking through it when he got it for me, and I was flicking through all the pages, and one of them like really stood out to me, and it was about like heartbreak and stuff. And it said like, you are the bravest of them all, because you've been brave enough to like open yourself up to them. That's why you feel that pain, because there's so many people out there that don't.
And
like, no shame and judgment to them either, like, because there's a reason why you're so guarded. It's not easy to be unguarded. So, you know, like, as well, like, not to like romanticize your pain, but like, be proud of yourself as well.
Definitely,
for like that relationship that you had and that love that you gave and felt and experienced. And you will, like, whether that's in another person or what, you'll find that again. You'll meet that again. This relationship is done. You will get to that point. Even though now you probably really feel like you can't. It's a moment in time, and your healing will happen in the time it's meant to. And, like, just don't lose sight of that as well and think you're going to feel like this forever, because you won't.
Yeah.
No pain is ever a forever feeling. It always dissipates eventually. But especially if you show up to, like, your work and your healing and, like, I keep calling them spiritual assignments, because Gabby Bernstein says them all the time, but I really resonate with that. Like, I think relationships can be like our biggest teachers and our biggest lessons. Like, the biggest lessons are, and soul growth can be relationships and like mirrors and what we learn from other people, even loving relationships. I'm not just talking about hard ones here. But even like a loving relationship can end, like what you were saying. What kind of, what you experienced, that 5% is just not something, not quite right, and that means you have to walk away from the 95% of amazing things, just be living in alignment in your truth. And that's a really difficult thing. So I think you should be proud of yourself as well.
Thank you.
Because I obviously, like, maybe there's some listeners right now that are in what you were in and they're really confused. But like, I watched you do that, what you did, and like I said, it was actually really hard to advise you, because I didn't wasn't in your brain. So I don't know what the five
and broken brain.
You'd fucked up neurological brain. But like, I wasn't there in your mind, so I don't know what the 5% and what the 95% is. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what your heart's whispering to you and what your intuition's telling you and what your like soul path is, more than you would know yourself. So like, it was really hard to give you advice other than to just kind of like try and emotionally support you. Like, I couldn't tell you what to do. I didn't know the answer. No. And I think that you really did, even though it was so hard and you were in turmoil and I watched you be in that, you still stuck by what you knew was the right thing, which was to leave. And also, hats off to you, because people don't fucking do this and they really should. You had a clean break off the social media, no contact, so you could heal and that other person could heal.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you are where you are now. And you can say everything that you said on this show today, because it's all come from you, not from me. this is Abby's show today. I've chipped in a bit, but you know, all these ideas and wisdom, it's come from your own like healing. Like, you can't sit here and say that unless you did all that. It's like, I hope it inspires some of the people listening now that are like maybe feeling that weak part of the pre-breakup or post-breakup, and I hope that they can be inspired by the way you behaved, because you're a very well-behaved girl. No,
and
but
that's
like,
so nice. I never even actually thought of the episode like that, but that's actually really true.
Yeah.
That I like feel, I actually feel like in a really good, really healed place.
Yeah.
I was literally like in the midst of it, wasn't I?
Yeah, yeah, you were on
like,
the edge.
There might be people that are listening to it that are at that place where I was really confused.
And you can be that inspiration of hope for them for a better future.
That's really sweet. It's very nice to hear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I am, just to reply, I am really proud, because it does take a lot. I think as well what you were saying about like the pain is just part of the package, I think that allows you to keep your heart open as well.
Yeah.
Because if you like go through such pain and you're like, oh my God, fuck this shit, you like close yourself off.
I never
want to
feel that again. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas like when I went through all that, I was like, what, like, even though it's so painful, it's like, what a joy to feel that pain. Like you said, like to feel that depth of pain, like I'm willing to risk that for love because that's what life is about. So it's like, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to keep my heart open. But I think you've got to keep mindful of that, because it is so painful. And obviously, you don't like to be in pain, so you're like, oh God, don't want to do this again. But if you're like, if you want to step into like a really nourishing, beautiful love, then you kind of like as in there's no two ways about it. It's just like the duality of life. Like, you're going to feel pain. And you're going to feel pain, obviously, in a relationship.
Where
not saying relationship's perfect or anything. So it's like that duality of just allowing yourself to feel and allowing yourself to go to the depths of your heart.
Yeah, and I think just remembering like how strong you actually are as a person.
Yeah.
And there's so many like resources out there and support, and even just deep in the depth of yourself, like you can get through anything. So even if it comes to that unfortunate circumstance of pain ending and stuff like that, breakups, like just knowing that you'll be all right. One day at a time.
Yeah, one day at a time.
Yeah.
And just what you actually said before, which I think is the most simple quote that is so helpful, I think, in a breakup, is if I could love the wrong person that much, imagine how much I could love the right person. That helps me. That was literally like my affirmation. Because obviously I had so much love in that relationship, but it wasn't right.
Yeah.
But it's like, imagine how much you could actually love the right person. And like, you see it all the time. You see love. Love is everywhere. You see it all around you, people in the most beautiful relationships. Like, you will meet that person, whoever's listening, like, you will meet your person and it will feel right. So just think about that.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to close.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us.
Yeah.
Hope you're all not sobbing too much.
Yeah, and definitely, like, if you've got any friends going through this, or maybe just save the episode so you've always got it there. Because like we said, like, I think when you're in the midst of it and you really want to listen to something and you can't find it, it's just stressful. Like, you just need a big, like, hug and advice.
Yeah.
From finding your feet.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next Wednesday for a brand new episode.
Bye.
Bye.